السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Welcome to another episode of Coffee and Benefits with Ayub.
Coffee and benefit.
Now, so what's been going on with you, brother?
Not much. Not much. You forgot the Ayub with Ayub and Saifullah. You gotta finish your introduction, man. Your rendition.
Welcome to another episode of Coffee and Benefits with Ayub and our brother Saifullah. Hey, wahalik, ya hey.
Yeah, كويس الحمد لله الحمد لله.
Now, so ain't nothing been going on with me, man. Same thing.
Yeah.
Working, staying out of the way.
You and I both, you know, it's about that time. It's about that time.
Yeah. You a truck driver. So in terms of your job, right? You drive trucks. Do you drive like for a specific company? So like do you do Coca-Cola or whatnot?
I'm a Teamster. So in Vegas, like the second biggest economical factor of Vegas is conventions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a Teamster with the Teamsters Convention here in Vegas. And so I put in, basically I deliver all of the booths for the conventions that go on in Vegas, and you know it's a convention every day, so that's pretty much what I work for. The biggest company as far as convention wise in Vegas.
So, but you don't do any. So all of your driving is within Vegas. So you don't do any long distance driving or anything like that.
Absolutely not.
And the reason why I was asking because. You know, with the increases of gas lately, and you know, I work with truckers a lot every day too. So, a lot of their complaints is the price of fuel now, and so
yeah. So, yeah. My dad was a truck driver, owner operator. You know, longer than I've been alive, right?
Yeah.
Prior to his passing. So I ended up starting a little LLC with my father. I started the LLC, and then his whole thing was just he wanted to work for me and be my driver, but we doing it together, you know. So Pops was my driver, and I was doing all of the paperwork, you know, doing all of the basic front office stuff, pretty much, however you want to put it. So right. the company was mine, but he was like a manager of it, right? So to make a long story short, when we started our LLC, we ran into this issue before too, because at that time gas and fuel prices was like super high. So yeah, it definitely, because like if you gotta think, you know, just going off of what I learned from having my own LLC. And what Pops used to talk about, you know, you got to think like maybe 50, you know, maybe a little over 50% of your money and your wages is going to fuel. Yeah. If your company is not giving you any fuel, you know, like a fuel card or something like that, then a lot of your wages, a lot of your expenses is going to be fuel.
Yeah. So let's get into tonight's show.
Bet.
Last week we had you and I offline had spoke about a Facebook post, I believe, or Instagram post that you had seen. Refresh me on the topic of that.
Okay. So look, it was an Instagram post, and It was from a Muslima, and she's a this sister. She's a, I think she's like a psychiatrist, and she helps couples with, you know, marriage issues and things of that nature. So she's basically a couples counselor, for lack of better words. So in one of her posts or one of her stories, I think it was, she had asked the question, She made a comment, and then somebody responded to that comment, and then within their responding to that comment, they said something along the lines of men embracing their feminine tendencies or embracing their feminine energy. That's how she put it. Whoever, responded, they said men embracing their feminine energy. And for me, that set me off. So she asked the question right up under the response, do men have feminine energy? And so I hit no. And then when I seen the results of the questionnaire, and it was like 61% yes, 39% no, I'm like, what? That's crazy. So it prompted me to respond to her and like, men don't have feminine energy. A man being gentle and kind with his significant other is the definition of being a man, due to the fact that when that man is being kind and sensitive and soft with his significant other, his wife, he's not only looking from the standpoint of protecting her physically, but he's also protecting her mentally, because we understand that women, that's the way to for them to open up. That's the way for them to be the best that they can be, by guarding and protecting their emotional state, and by guarding and protecting their mental state. So for me, it was like, nah, that's not feminine energy. That's him being a man and protecting her like he's supposed to protect her, not only physically, but mentally.
Right. I got a definition of what it means to be in your feminine energy, and then we'll get into it.
Okay.
So it says is compassionate, kind, empathetic, patient, and emotional. It's about embracing your intuition and creativity. Feminine energy is fluid and free. It is about being. It encompasses receiving and is represented by nature. So, that's one definition that they give for or explanation of what it means to operate in one's feminine energy or, a man operating in his feminine energy. In my experience and what I've come across, you find a lot of those Afrocentric type people, those who believe in like this universal being, like they always attribute things like to the universe, right? And also they look at it as like you pointed out, right? A man having certain types of traits or characteristics, they automatically attribute that to being feminine, like being compassionate, kind, and empathetic, right? And you and I both know that these aren't feminine characteristics that like if a man possesses empathy, doesn't make him feminine, right? Empathy isn't exclusive to women either. But the key thing, especially for Muslims, is the part where it says it's represented by nature, right? And that's key with because like you and I talked about, oftentimes we have to understand terminology that people use, right? Because some things are, or some sayings rather, are universal sayings, right? So it means the same thing in every culture, right? For example, you have the saying, treat others as you would like to be treated, right? And that's pretty much a universal and accepted principle throughout the world, right? It may be phrased different from place to place, but the concept and the idea is the same, right? And even when we look within inside of Islam, that's an accepted principle within Islam, right? That you're kind to others and you would like to be treated kindly, right? But the point is, we have to understand terminology. And sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes terminology is connected to a belief system, right? And this is why it's dangerous sometimes to adapt certain ideas and principles without knowing the origin of these things, right? And maybe I don't know, but maybe this is why the percentage of people who said that men have feminine energy took that position, right?
The nature thing is something that definitely is a key point. But also a key point is what is your definition of feminism or feminine, not feminism, but feminine? What is your definition to what does that entail? Like, are you saying that in order to be feminine, you have to be sensitive? I would disagree with that. In order to be feminine, you have to be kind. I would disagree with that. In order to be feminine, you have to be you have to have some type of empathy or be a or be empathetic to situations or empathetic to your to those that are around you. I would disagree with that again. So for me, okay, what my first question will be, okay, well, what is your definition of feminine? Because if your definition of feminine is those key factors, then that's not being feminine. That's being a human being.
See, and I agree with you on that. So in answering this question, we have to, because you've heard the saying, right, that certain, well, they say it a lot when they talk about gender, right? Gender being a social construct, right? So within different societies, certain characteristics that men and women embody may be deemed feminine or deemed masculine, right? Within our society in America, when we look at men, this tends to be like this ultra where men have to be tough and mean, and you think about when we were growing up, you had characters like Charles Bronson, right? And Sylvester Stallone and Rambo, right?
You showing your age, pal.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but we came up on, those are the guys that we came up on, right? The tough
Brody
guys.
said, Brody said Charles Bronson, though.
I couldn't think of the movie that he played there, man. But you remember Charles Bronson, man, had that big old 357, man. And but these guys was tough and mean, right? And so in our minds, and what we became to adapt, right? That's what it meant to be a man, to be tough and to be mean and to, carry yourself like this, right? Whereas in another society, those characteristics would get you shunned in society. You wouldn't be looked at as tough or masculine or have any kind of rajula, like to. This isn't what they would characterize as manliness, right? They wouldn't, like, they would think you were wild and out of control, right? But here, that's what the perceived idea of masculinity is, right? So like now you have this whole alpha male movement, versus a beta male movement. And when you look at the characteristics of what some of these people describe as an alpha male, I'm not even saying that this is what an alpha male is, what they describe it is, right? Somebody who is misogynistic, who is kind of like arrogant, right? Because it's not even confidence, it's overcompensation, right?
For
So,
something.
and he's a misogynist, he's arrogant, and you know, in these types of characteristics, right? And when you have this, you have an alpha male, right? A quote unquote alpha male. But for Muslims, we have an ideal man, right? Who embodied manhood, who embodied masculinity, and who also possessed these characteristics that were mentioned in terms of being feminine, right? When we look at the Nabi Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, who was a man, who was a man's man, right? And but at the same time, he was compassionate, right? He was empathetic. And some of these other characteristics that they said, but we have an idea of what it means to be masculine, not afraid to speak their mind, to stand up in the face of oppression, to look out for those who were less fortunate, right? All of these were manly characteristics, right? And this is what, for us, what it means to be masculine and to be manly, right? And not all that other stuff. But we have an idea of what it means to have or to be masculine, right?
So,
No, right.
So, like, let me start off by saying this. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
Please, that's what's going on.
he said in a Sahih hadith that the women were created from the rib, and at the topmost part of the rib, it's crooked, it's bent, right? And if you try to straighten it, you'll break it. Right? Don't break the women, is what he's saying. You know, don't try to straighten it because you'll break it, you know. And when we talk about the masculinity thing, you know, what I understood from that narration is men break women when they're too harsh.
Right.
Men break women when they're too physical. Men break women when they're not nurturing. Men break women when they're not responsible. Men break women when they're not doing the things that what is natural for a man to be doing. And these things are not foreign to Bani Adam, to human beings as a whole, whether male or female. These characteristics are not foreign. These characteristics may be looked over, but they're not foreign. So just to go off on a small scale, there's a reason why, you know, a woman will look at a man and say, "Take out the trash." There's a reason why a woman would say, "If my husband or my significant other can't do outdoor work, then what do I have him for? Or what is he doing? Why is he a man? Why is he a man?" You know, you'll hear things like that. Or if my husband can't fix the garbage disposal, so to say, you know, is not handy, a handyman, quote unquote. And I'm not a handyman, but at the same time, you know, I can do, and there's things that I can't do.
Right.
But to round it out, you know, there's these certain actions or characteristics and attributes that are known, that are not foreign, whether for male or female. So that right in and of itself tells me that this is not a natural occurrence. This is not a natural definition. So the natural that you brought up before is out the window now, because we can literally say, "Hey, there's some things as a woman you're gonna ask of me as a man because I am a man.
Yeah.
And there are some things that I'm gonna ask of you as a woman because you are a woman. Those things don't get swept under the rug just because you want them to. Eventually they're gonna come out. Like I seen a, you know, during this war thing over in Ukraine, right? And I had seen a post and it kind of made me laugh a little bit, but it was real talk. You know, this transsexual was crying because the law had been passed in Ukraine that all men between the ages of 18 and 60 were not allowed to leave the country. It was unlawful. It was against the law for them to leave the country due to this war.
Right.
And he felt like because he's a trans, quote unquote, he's no longer categorized as a man. But that all got thrown out the window when the war came. No, you a man. You still a man. So and it you can look at it from the athletic standpoint too. When some of these transsexuals are starting to, you know, to compete in women only sports, they're running rings and hurting these women, like that UFC fight or whatever it was. They're hurting these women because you're still a man. And you're still gonna have the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in you as a man. There's a reason why you're a man, and there's a reason why you're a woman. And one is gonna have more strength physically, and one is gonna have more strength internally. And that's the difference. Women have a lot of strength internally within them, more than us as men. When we get pricked and we hurt ourselves and cut ourselves, it's not necessarily like dang, I done cut myself. You know. No, we look at it, that builds character, you know, pat it up and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
But touch a man inside and hurt him inside, it's like the world then came to an end.
Yeah, you're right about that.
You know what I mean? Like, if you hurt this man inside, you break this man's heart, it ain't no telling what he gonna do. And we seeing that. This men with broke hearts do some of the most abnormal stuff that you would never think. It was killing women and doing all of this stuff. That's because that man was broke. We not capable like to hold that energy inside like that, like women are. That's their strength. Their tongue is their strength. Whereas for us, our physicality, that's for us. That's for men. That's the characteristic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose us to have, to be above them in. And then they have their things that they're above us in. You know what I mean? So the whole naturalistic standpoint that they tried to put in that definition or try to slide in that definition, it don't suffice. Because there's natural things that take place that no one can argue.
That's true. But there's also a flip side to this, right? Dawood Adib, he has a great lecture. And it's called Role Reversal, right?
Or something similar to that. Yeah, I was going to hit on that. Yeah,
that's the name of it, right? And the thing is that you have to pay attention to that one, because he starts off by mentioning that hadith about women being the majority of the hellfire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he mentions the characteristics of, or the reasons for the women being the majority of the inhabitants of the hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
And from one of those things he mentioned was they cause a man to lose his aqal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he just goes on throughout the lecture to show how the roles of men and women in today's society have been reversed, where you start to see a lot of the women not only being more masculine in terms of you know, their dealings within societies, but you also find men not being the heads and the leaders of households anymore, right? But you also see within our society this inserted effort to feminize men. And those men, especially within the African American community, those men who have these characteristics of being homosexual or quote unquote metrosexual, right? And this is a term that's really ambiguous, right? When they talk about a person that's being metrosexual, right? It's a masculine man who embraces his feminine side, right?
Is that what that is?
Yeah. And so what it is, right, you'll have a man who's not homosexual, according to this definition, who's not homosexual, right? But you will find him in the beauty parlors getting his eyebrows arched. You will find him in the nail salons, not stopping at a manicure, right? He's going to go the extra step and have his nails glossed and painted, right? You may see him wear female blouses or female jewelry, right? And, you know, this is what they consider like a man who is confident in his sexuality.
Yeah, right? That's them saying. That's him saying that he's okay, that he's what do they call it? That he's okay with his feminine side, or he's secure. That's what they say. He's secure. He's secure within himself. Secure within what self?
This is foolishness and bottle, right?
Right.
And like I say, it's an inserted effort, right, to feminize men. And like, for example, with the young kid, Lil Nas X, right, where he came out and he had that little song that he had that was big, right? You know, a lot of the kids gravitated towards it and things like this, right? And it blew him up. So he wasn't content, or the people behind him wasn't content with just the idea of him being this one-hit wonder or this overnight sensation or whatever the case may be. His next move was to come out and say that he was a homosexual, right? Hmm. Now, what they have with this guy, they have him on these billboards and magazine covers. Like, you know what the kid looks like. And I seen the photo of him on Instagram or somewhere, maybe Twitter. And the kid is like, he's pregnant, right? Like 8, 10 months or 9 months pregnant or whatnot, right? Now, you had all of these kids gravitated towards him because of the song that he had, right? It didn't have any kind of, well, I don't know, because I never really listened to the song, but I'm assuming, right? And I can stand to be corrected on this. Within the song, it didn't have any hints or connotations of homosexuality. It didn't call to homosexuality or whatever, right? It was just a little groovy song and people liked it, right? But you had a lot of the youth and younger kids gravitating towards this kid, right? And now you have the same kid on these billboards, homosexual and pregnant, right? And this is in terms of, like, what do you say? Subliminal?
Yeah, like, subliminal, you know, messaging.
Right? And the same thing, man. Look at it, man. Dave Chappelle spoke about this, right? How every successful Black comedian, right? What did they have them do?
Mm-hmm. They have them dressed up like women.
Throw on a dress like a woman.
But, you know, I gotta, you know, this might just be me, but, you know, I thought about this thing a long time ago, right? In my opinion, this is the modern age of bunk breaking. Right? So, like, the mass incarceration pandemic that hit the African American community, it took the men away from the homes, right? And when they took the men away from the homes, it caused the mothers to have to play the role of both mother and father, right?
And
So
I mean, let me interject for one second to add to throw something else in there, right? Government mandated, right, for women who were receiving public assistance, right? Because keep in mind, we're talking about men being protectors and providers of the homes, right? And now we're talking about them being taken away from the homes. So it leaves women to what? Fend for themselves, right? And so the government had these programs, these welfare programs, right? And one of the things that they said within these, in order for these women to receive this assistance, is they couldn't have men living with them, right? So that's important. So
Yeah,
every home.
you can't have no third legs in the house with you at all. At all, you know. And look, listen, my thing is this. When you have that type of occurrence going on in within society, and you take the men away from the home, it's literally gonna create a vacuum that we're seeing now. Like, I remember one time, right? My mom, you know, I was raised, you know, in a Christian in a Christian family, right? So, I remember one time my mom was trying to, oh, for Easter, she was trying to get my tie for Easter, right? And she didn't know how to tie, right? And my grandma didn't know how to tie, right? My aunties didn't know how to tie. So literally, my mom walked me down one side of the street, one side of my neighborhood, down one side of my street of my neighborhood. She walked me went down one side. Not one man on that side knew how to tie. Then we walked back up the street, right? Not one man on that side of the street knew how to tie. My grandma ended up telling me this, but my mama confirmed it. Like, my grandma ended up telling me, you know, when that day happened, your mama came into the house and she was crying. And she said, "Well, what are you crying for?" And my mama said, My son gonna go to prison."
Damn.
Right? And my grandma was like, "You know, you know how you tripping, you bugging, you know." And I couldn't have been no more than like maybe 8, 7, you know, at that time, right? But she told my grandma that day, "My son gonna go to prison." And my grandma remembered that, and she told me she knew, because there was no man in your life. You know, even though my father was still living at the time, but I see, like I told you before, I seen pops maybe twice, three times a year. You know, that vacuum, that's a serious thing, you know. And the reason I call it, you know, the modern day buck breaking, is because it's this these actions that you're implementing are meant to humble. And make so and to make someone look or feel beneath. It's meant that they're instituted to make a man, you know, whoever gets caught up into that vacuum, they're made for that individual to feel less than whomever is not a part of that vacuum or haven't got sucked into that vacuum. So this is why I call it the, you know, modern day butt booking, because that has affected the African American community more than any other community in this country. You know, so you now, not only do you have these women that are raising sons, and they can't raise a son because they don't know, they can't give everything that they're supposed to be giving to that individual, so that he understands that at times I need to be strong physically, and at times I need to be sensitive. He doesn't understand that. So by him being raised by his mother, for most of his life. He's going to end up having more of a strong point when it comes to his femininity, or you know, what they're calling the femininity side. His feminine side. He's gonna end up perpetuating that side more so. And then when it's time for him to be the strength, it's kind of like a new occurrence. It's kind of like a new vibe.
No, I can agree with that. But
and then when that new vibe comes, this is men. So when that new vibe comes, they end up, as a man, you end up acting on a particular situation, especially when it's a new situation, a new issue. There are several ways that you can end up acting on that issue. You can end up being cool and collected about it and approaching the situation with some type of intelligence, or you can lash out, right? And that's what you see like how you mentioned, you know, the masculinity, the toxic masculinity, and this man is supposed to be chauvinistic, or you know, he's supposed to be arrogant. And all. That's him acting out. That's him lashing out because he doesn't know how to do it the other way, which is have some tact about him, have some cooth about him. You know what I mean?
This is what I was going to add to that, right? With the lack of men within the household, you have women who have to try within their mind channel their idea of what it means to be masculine or manly, right? And so they instill certain characteristics within their children or within their boys, right? Which end up becoming these toxic traits, right? So, for example, if you have, for example, a single mom, she has two daughters and one son, and the children play with each other, right? It's only, I would say, natural, right, for lack of a better term, that the kid's going to play, the boy going to pick up the doll baby. He may emulate what he sees from his sisters, right? And he play with the doll baby, braid their hair and things like this. And the mom comes and just like slaps it out of his hand. She disciplines him for playing with a doll. Like, he's just doing what a kid does, mm-hmm. right? But a man is supposed to not play with dolls. A man is supposed to be tough. A man is supposed to be like this, and right? And I give you a prime example. One of my cousins, her son got into a fight. She tells her son, if you can't beat him up, you pick up a stick and you hit him with the stick.
Mm-hmm.
I tell her, I say, that's not what you tell him to do. Because if he hits the kid with the stick, then that parent is going to, you know, press charges on your son. Your son is going to end up in the system, right, for assault and battery or malicious wounding or something like that, right? My dad taught me, you live to fight another day, right? If it's you and it's them, then you run. Right? You don't be a fool. There's nothing smart about being stupid, right? Uh-huh. It's one of you and it's two of them. You uh-huh. get out of there, right?
Uh-huh.
Maybe get your brothers or your older cousins and, you know, even a score that way, right? But men think, like you say, with tact, they strategize, right? They're not just full of emotion and you do the first thing that comes to your mind, right? That's not a manly characteristic. Right? To just be overfilled with emotion and let that lead the way, right? A man is calculated and thoughtful, right? And so this is a characteristic that a man would instill into his son, right? That if you can't win all the fights.
You're not going to win. There's always somebody better.
What did they tell us when we were coming up, right? Our older cousins or our the homies and the homeboys within, you got heart, right? That was more important than whether you won or you lost, right? He got heart. And those characteristics and those things translate later on in life, right? When you're faced with a certain situation, right? The fact that you're willing to face your fears versus you getting emotional and saying, I can't do it, right? You didn't even try. You was afraid that you might fail and I can't do it, right? So, that's one of the things that causes, in my opinion, some of these men to have these toxic traits, right? Being where a woman has to take what she believes a man would do or how a man thinks and try to instill this in her children. Her boys, rather, not her children, but her boys. Still there?
I'm listening.
Oh, Jay. No, that was my thought right there.
Oh, okay. I thought you was gonna go ahead. The approach that a woman is gonna have when it comes to raising a son is gonna be it's gonna be somewhat of a pseudo it's gonna be somewhat of a pseudo learning experience when it comes to what's supposed to be instilled in him from a manly point of view, in my opinion, right? Like, I was raised by my mom for the most part, and I remember my dad used to tell me, men don't cry. And touched on that before, men don't cry. But
Right.
when Brody, but when he died, I boo-hooed, right?
Same
Because,
when my father passed.
right. So, he used to be real stickler for that, right? And looking back on it now, that was negative. From a growth standpoint, right? That's negative, because you're telling me in so many words that I'm not able to allow my emotions to release, right?
And
And
this, I don't mean to interrupt, but this is the thing that in the beginning where I talked about when we look at the Nabi Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, right?
no.
You find within hadith where he cried,
Yes.
right? To the
Yes.
point where his beard was wet, right?
Yes. Yes.
And he showed emotions and he showed all of these different types of characteristics that within today's society would be deemed as feminine characteristics,
Right.
right? And you would have to ask, would Allah choose the man who is to lead not only the nation of the Arab that he was sent to, but all of mankind to be the example? An effing man? Like a feminine man? No.
I believe honestly, without the traits of being able to be soft with your wife and to be able to be kind with your wife and to be and being able to be compassionate with your wife, empathetic with your wife, without those traits, you cannot be her cover.
You can't be.
There is no way for you to be her cover if you don't have those traits, or you're not trying to put those traits into practice and grow those traits due to the fact that she needs that. Just like you as a man, you need someone that when you walk into the door, she's approachable, and she's giving you soft words to ease your to ease your feeling your anxiety from the day's work that you just got done doing. the pressures of the rigmarole of the day's work that you just like you want somebody and you need somebody, because don't no man want to walk into the house and hear fuss after fuss after fuss after fuss. That's not what he wants to hear. He wants to come home and have some type of peace. He wants to come home and have some type of serenity, right? So in saying that, she needs the opposite of that from you. She needs you to be able to cover her. And you're not going to be able to cover her as a man if you're not able to understand where she's coming from and show some empathy to her feelings, or to be able to be to give her soft words, because that's honey for her. And you're not going to be able to get the best out of her if you're not kind, not raising your voice, not raising your hand. Not these things that you, as a man, you have to be like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the strongest man is not the one who shows his anger. The strongest man is not the one who can wrestle the other man down. The strongest man is the one who has patience.
And that's deep when you think about it, right? Because these are things that are being, you know, propagated the opposite way around, right? And to your point, a woman won't respect you if you lack those characteristics of manlyhood, right? That truly feminine man, the man that, like you said, that you know, he can't do anything or it's too heavy. No, I can't do that. And no, she wants somebody, like you say, that's able to protect her and to be that covering over her, right?
I can't see how she can respect you or me or any other man as a man if he's not able to show her the strength that's in him by being diverse. That's a strength in and of itself. I cannot understand how a woman will be able to go into her home and play the role of a woman if her husband and significant other is not meeting her with the things that she needs. Just like he's not going to be able to feel like he has a woman if she is not able to meet him with the things that he needs. It's literally 2 + 2 = 4. Like today, in today's times, you got these females, you got these sisters, you got these women, however you want to say it, you know, but you have these women that have taken the role of being a man to another level, right? So growing up, you know, I still have, you know, nephews and younger cousins that still, you know, late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, right? So I'm catching some of the lingo that they pulling out, you know, these days, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they've taken the role of manhood to a whole nother plateau. Like when I was growing up, if you called a man a B, like that B word, that mm-hmm. those was fighting, killing words. Like that was like, oh no, I'm finna catch a body today. Like you gotta see me for that word, just that word. You know what I mean? Today they calling these dudes that word, like how when we was in the streets, let me go, you know, tidy up with old girl, but we saying that word. You know, that's how they coming at these dudes, and they going above and beyond that. So now dudes is being turned out by the female.
Yeah.
I can't understand that, right? Like you're giving up a fitra, a natural ability for what? To do what? Like to achieve what? I that for me doesn't it don't equate, you know.
No, what? Go ahead and finish your thought.
You know, it's for me, it's like, you know, this is the consequence and the repercussions of one, babies raising babies, but also of two, you know, this is the consequence of women instilling what they believe to be manly. So the occurrence of I'm secure within myself is what's taking precedent instead of saying, yeah, I'm secure within myself to do what I'm naturally supposed to be doing. And
Right.
the things that you're telling me is feminine is actually me being doing and feeling and approaching a situation how I'm supposed to be approaching it. Everything got dirtied and everything got sullied. You know, everything got real blurry when it comes to the roles of or the characteristics of what each gender is supposed to be.
And I'll add another element to this conversation, right? Because when we talked about that whole men being taken out of the household with that the prison industrial complex and all of these things, right? And so women were African American women were forced to become the breadwinners, right? And while at the same time adopting these ideals of the feminist movement. So you have this segment who hold the idea of I don't need a man, right? And so you fast forward nowadays that you have this whole debate or divide. You hip to that guy, Kevin Samuels, right?
No, I'm not hip.
Well, he's leading this movement of what he calls a high value man, right? And
Meaning.
a high value man, according to him, is a man who's in the top 1%, right? In terms of him being like college educated, has a six figure career or salary. But he also points out that those type of men like a particular type of woman, right? And the type of woman that they tend to gravitate towards is the more traditional housewife type of woman, right? Where he goes out and he provides, she stays home, she's pretty, she gives him children, she take care of the home, and so on and so forth, right? You know, your traditional quote unquote housewife, right? And these type of men gravitate towards that type of woman. But you have these women who've adopted that I don't need a man notion, right? And they find themselves in their late 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, single, no children, never been married, and so on and so forth, right? And so he has these dialogues with these women, and he tries to point out the reason why you can't get a man is because you have this idea, you have that idea, and so on and so forth.
But the type of man that he's talking about.
Right. Now it's more than that when you actually watch his videos. He kind of goes in on women. he goes in, he doesn't kind of go in, he goes in on these
I already knew it because it's an agenda behind it.
Right.
His whole point, right, is coming from a toxic chauvinistic standpoint anyway.
And the reason why I bring this up because it's one brother. I've been following him a while on social media and stuff like this, right? And we started to jump on this bandwagon, right? And he's like to drag the women, man, the black women on top of that, right? He likes to drag them. And it's toxic, and it's not rooted within Islam either, right? Whatsoever, right? These ideals and notions aren't rooted in Islam, whatsoever. And for and I got on the brother's platform and I spoke to him because he was just talking all this goofy stuff about black women and not being married and blah 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 blah. And when I went on his show, I yo, bro, I'm married to a black woman. We've been married for almost 10 years, and you know, like what you're saying isn't like remotely true. Because if you look at this, right, and this is a little bit off our conversation, but if you look at this, right, 85% of black men are married to or in a relationship with who?
A black woman.
A black woman, right? So these kind of ideas and notions that black women giving the black men the blues and they're leaving the community, like, isn't true, right? There are some struggles and things that within the community needs to be worked on and need to be repaired, right? But it's not a whole gloom and doom type thing like some people like to perpetuate, right? And so a lot of these things aren't even trying to be solved like in a systematic way where the actual problem is being addressed, right? So the solution can never be brought about when the diagnosis isn't correct to begin with, right? So you could never have a proper solution unless the diagnostic on the problem is identified. And oftentimes the reasons behind a lot of things tend to be skipped over.
You know, I have a problem. I have a problem with people who I have a problem with people who like to place stipulations on things, right? Because when you place a stipulation on things, the first red flag for me is that you have an agenda. Because stipulations are rules. And rules are set for a specific attribute or a specific goal to achieve. And if you go outside of these rules, that goal is not going to be able to be achieved, right? So in when you start off by telling me this is a 1% man that, like however he put it, like how you say he put it, or you know, this is the cream of the crop, basically. That's how I'm. That's the gist that I'm getting. The cream of the cream of the crop of a man is college educated and six figures. And okay, all right, chill for a second. Slow your roll because I know more people that make six figures that's not college educated than I do that's college educated. That's first. And you know me. You know me. I'm all for education. Like I'm that dude when it comes to education. You know what I mean? So that I have no problem with you telling you going to go and get an education. But that don't make you the cream of the crop when it comes to
No,
being a man.
that's not necessarily what he's saying, right? What he's pointing out is that women who have these certain types of ideals, right? That I make my own, like this whole conversation with what do you bring to the table, right? And this is a big thing now, right? Where a guy will say to a woman, like, what do you bring to the table? Right? So a woman may say, well, I make my own money. I got a college degree. I got a house, right? I take care of like this, right? And he says to the woman in reply, like, a man with money, he don't care about your money, right? Like I tell my wife when we got together, your money is your money, and my money is your money as well, right? Because you know, this is what a man he does. He provides for his woman, right? Not only does he make sure that he has or she has the things that she needs, but he also lavishes his wife with the things that he believes that she's worthy of having, right? So the fact that you have money or you have an education is relevant to me. What kind of person are you though, right? Are you kind? Are you nurturing? Are you this? Like, do you possess these characteristics? And oftentimes, those women don't look at a man from those standpoints, right? Like you pointed out, a man wants to be, if I'm out here all day in the hustle and the bustle trying to provide, right? When I come home, I want to be comforted, right? I want to be met with a smile and, you know, a hug, maybe some food, you know, a warm bed, and these kind of things, right? The fact that you got a BA or the fact that you make six, it don't mean anything to me if I'm out here getting it too, right? And so that's kind of like, you know, the viewpoint that he's coming from. And he's just saying that the men who typically make these kind of things, like, because if you ask them, like he asked the women, like, so what are you looking for? And they'll say, I want a man that's this, and I want a man that's that, and I want a man that's this, and I want a man that's that. And his reply is, okay, well, what do you bring? And then they'll just mention all these tangibles, right? That men typically don't care about. And the reason why I mentioned this though is because you now have Muslims gravitating towards this kind of thinking, right? When you already have a model, you already have a model, right? And it doesn't have anything to do with any of these different types of things that these different types of speakers and thinkers tend to bring about, right? When we look at the Nabi Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, true ladies' man, right? Not in no misogynistic way, right? But the women would come to him and propose marriage to him, right? 12 wives, right? How did he treat and how did he deal with his wife? How did his wives view him,
Who
right?
had 12 wives?
The Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam.
He had nine. The other three were concubines.
Toya, toya, toya. Better belong feet.
No.
The point being, like, how do they view, right? A man, a man's man, right? And not only from the women, how did his Sahaba view him, right? As a man and having these, you know, these masculine and manly traits, right? And this is who we are supposed to emulate. And this is how we are supposed to, or who we are to follow in terms of nurturing our families, right? Raising our children, how we act and respond to our wives and our kinfolks and so on and so forth, right? And, you know, because we kind of talking about, you know, the African American community, but we're Muslim, right?
Right. Without
And
question, that was going to be my next hit.
we're Muslim within that African American community, right? And like we talked about, in terms of bringing about a solution, right? Now, when we're given a diagnostic to the problem, right? We can start with the root causes of what it is that's causing these men to act like this and the woman to respond or act the way that they're acting, right?
Like, okay, I the one thing that when it comes to, and I'm saying this for the to the sisters, right? If you got a brother, excuse me, if you got a brother who is striving to be up on the sunnah, and he's striving, to be up on Quran and sunnah, and he's striving to be a person that he's trying to build himself to be a person that's different than the person that he's trying to lead, i.e. the street dude, the dude that was hustling in the streets or banging in the streets, whatever, however you want to put it, if a goon, whatever. If you are you're in a marriage with an individual, with a man who is trying to be better than that, please, with all sincerity, please do not call that man back to what he's trying to leave. Because you might not be ready for that door to get open. You might not even be able to handle what's behind that door. If he's closing the door, he's closing the door for a reason. Leave the door shut. Period. Speaking to the brothers, a woman is all the way in her rights, all the way. As a woman, not only just because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her as her rights, but as the woman that's supposed to be nurtured, she is well within her rights to seek and ask and to investigate what you bring to the table from a financial standpoint, from a characteristic standpoint, from an intellectual standpoint. She is well within her rights for all of that. Because at the end of the day, she is literally giving herself to you and asking you to take care of her. Right? And that entails a whole lot. Not only is she asking you to take care of her financially, she's asking you to make sure that she's secure and she's safe. And she's protected emotionally and physically. And if you're not able to stand up on your own two feet intellectually, if you're not able to stand up on your own two feet physically, if you're not able to stand up on your own two feet financially, there is no way that you're going to be able to give her what she needs. Right? So she is well within her rights to look for those things and ask about those things. Just like you are well within your rights as a man to say, well, how affectionate are you? How nurturing are you? How motherly are you? That you are well within your rights to ask too, because those things are what appease a man, right?
Now.
So in saying that, we as Muslims, I want to talk about as Muslims, right? We can talk about what it's like on the African American side. We can do that all day. But as Muslims, we got to understand that, like how you were touching on throughout this whole podcast, you got to understand that we have a model, a bona fide, perfect, unadulterated, untarnished model. Like, you can get no better, right? It's perfect. And in that model, you're going to be imperfect trying to achieve that model, but you're going to be the best of what you can be by trying to achieve that model, right? So this is the reason why we see day and night marriages in the Muslim community. This is the reason why we see physical, you know, assaults and domestic violence within our communities as Muslims within our communities, because one person is not allowing the other person to either receive their rights or not willing to give their rights. And that's what it all stems from. If
No, it seems. Go ahead.
no no if I can't receive my rights as far as you being the model that's in place that we're both you and I are both trying to achieve, that at the end of the day I'm gonna end up having some type of an attitude, and that attitude might end up spilling over because it's building over and over and over, right? And then vice versa. If I'm not able, if the sister is not able to address her needs, then she's gonna have an attitude, and that's gonna continuously build up over and over and over. And at that point in time, you are gonna have the role reversal because one or the other or both are gonna say, "Well, I just do it myself."
And see, but this is what I'm talking about in terms of with that analogy that I'm using, with being able to assess the situation, right? Looking at the problem, all right, and then we're gonna bring about the solution, right? And this conversation just has been about this role reversal where we have all of these elements, right? And so, if Muslims, as a whole, and specifically within the African American community, right, were to adopt those principles that Islam set as a guideline, right? Like men and women are coming together in terms of marriage, right? One, because this is how men and women are to come together, right? Through this the bond of marriage, right? But once he marries this woman, he has obligations to her. And once this man marries this woman, she has obligations to him, right? And when he follows these obligations, knowing that this is pleasing to his Lord, right? That's one benefit, right? When he carries out these characteristics or giving these rights, like you mentioned, to his wife in response, right? She knows that by reciprocating those rights back to him, it's not only pleasing to her Lord, but it softens the heart of that man, right? And then they are able to communicate and work together, right? In terms of having children, rearing children upon righteousness, right? That transcends throughout a community, a society, and so on and so forth,
Right,
right?
as long as people are not using rights as weapons, though,
No,
right? Because we
but see, but see,
got brothers that do that.
no, but see, this is the thing. This is the thing. First, I'm gonna say the people that do that are pure and unadulterated scumbags, right? We just gonna
Total.
go on record and just say that, right? They're pure
Total.
scumbags, right?
Total.
Because listen, man, anybody who would take deen and try to use it and to manipulate it to gain some kind of benefit
You the
deserves
lowest.
what happens to them, bro.
You the lowest of the low.
Pure scumbag,
You the
right?
lowest of the low.
And I kind of don't even like the and we know, right? We just being real with one another, and we know that there are people out there like that, man, from every walk of life, man, that will take advantage of something good, man, and taint it.
Not because when you use a right as a weapon, right? You are daring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, literally,
Wow.
to bring on his wrath upon you. Because you don't believe fat meat is greasy, basically. By you using a right as a weapon, it's like saying, I did that, and what? I said what I said, and what? To Allah.
Right. But
What kind of rationale is that?
yeah, but what I'm saying is, outside of them scumbags, right? That, and I don't want to use it like in terms of like it being like a theoretical term, right? But this is the solution for the problems, right? And a lot of these things, like, coming up, man, we weren't raised upon our purpose in life, right? We so disconnected from that, right? And so it's not surprising that people would act like savages or whatever, right? Because one, they're not connected to their creator whatsoever, right? And so now that a lot of us are, it's upon us, man. It's upon us to like raise our families upon that, man. Right? There's no way that, like you mentioned, like you manipulate and using, like, bruh, that has a greater effect on society.
It definitely does, because when you do it the right way, when you approach the, with any situation, if you approach it the right way, like Ibn Qayyim Rahimahullah, he has this I wanted, I can't remember the name of, I can't remember the book that it was in. I'm gonna have to look for it and say it later, but he has this quote, right? And he's showing about the good of things and the bad of things, and he says, one good deed accumulates to 10 good deeds, and 10 good deeds accumulate to 100 good deeds. And the example he showed was, when you walk to the masjid, when you decide that you're going to go to the masjid to pray, right? The first thing you do is your intention. Okay, I'm going to go to the masjid and pray. That's one good deed, right? Then you go to the bathroom or you go to the washroom to make wudu. Two good deeds. Then after you make wudu, you start walking to the masjid. That we know the hadith of that, that's good deeds on top of good deeds, just from walking, right? Then you enter the masjid, you make the dua, enter the masjid, that's a good deed. Then you give your two sunnahs to greet the masjid, that's another good deed. Then you start then you sit and wait for the salat to happen. These are good deeds. The angels are praying for you, asking for forgiveness for you, and then you make the salah 70 times, 100 times, 300 times better than, and then you make your sunnah, or you walk out of the masjid and you make the dua of walking out of the masjid, good deed, right? And he's showing you how these when you start good, it ends good, right? But when you start bad, it is bad. So you got so when you, I'm not gonna tell her about this because I'm gonna try to do this in secret. And then I'm not gonna tell her about this because I'm gonna try to do this. Or I got knowledge, and I studied a little bit, and I speak a little bit of Arabic, and I'm gonna use that to do whatever. And then the snowball effect goes. Okay, boop, 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 boop. Then sooner or later, because Allah is gonna expose you at some point in time. Sooner or later, we're gonna catch you on Twitter, and or we're gonna catch something about you on social media, then done something, and then done something tragic, right? Or or somebody's going to inquire about you to your family, and your family is going to expose you. I mean, it could go either way. So when you start with a good, it's going to always end good because you started with the correct intention and you started with trying to be good about it. But when you start off bad, it's going to be just going to be a wreck. That's where we got to get to, right there. As a man, I'm going to start off as a man. It's not about me being it's not about me being feminine, quote unquote. It's about me standing up and recognizing that as a man, I have a responsibility to uphold my woman, my wife, in a way that is dignified.
But to even add to that, right? And this is my opinion. One of the most manly characteristics, one of the things that actually define you as a man, is when you actually stand up on what it is that you believe in.
In totality.
That's
I agree 1,000%.
That's number one, right? And not only is a man thinking about the well-being of his family, right? But society as a whole, right? And Ibn Baz, or Rahmatullah, he mentioned about women being the whole of society, right? And the reason that he mentioned is that the women are the first teachers of the children, right? So if that children is brought upon, righteousness with deen, right? Then he goes out into society and he implements these characteristics, right? But it's upon the man, right, to provide this type of security, right, by giving the woman what she needs in terms of teaching her religion, right, and stealing or standing upon what it is that men are supposed to, man, handling your responsibilities, man, being the man that you say that you actually are, right, being honest and truthful, right. You give her those things, right? She gives those to her children, right? And he goes out. And now imagine, right? If you and I are doing that, and our neighbors are doing that, right? And our neighborhood is doing that, and our city is doing that.
Yeah, right? Still sharp and steel.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right?
Still sharp and steel. It has to have a ripple effect.
It has to.
And that's what brotherhood is about, you know. And that's what this deen in my, you know, and one of the important aspects of this deen is that what you're describing, because you know when you with good company, to be good company too, you know. When you see your sahab doing good, you're gonna want to do good because you don't want to lack. Not when it comes to that, right? So if I see you out there doing it, I'm gonna try to do it too, because you're a part of my circle, and I can't be the weak link in the circle. You know, you can go about it a lot of ways. You know, it's just for us as men, I really, really, honestly believe that we got to get out of having a defeatist attitude on certain things. And I don't mean defeatist as far as like saying I can't get this, I can't achieve this, I can't. No, what I mean by a defeatist attitude is that I'll never be able to live up to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not true, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have never told us in the Quran that you have the best of examples in that man.
No.
You know what I mean? He would have never said that if you wasn't able to achieve the characteristic that he's showing, that would have never, because Allah is not going to ever hold us to account on something that we can't do. You can do that, brother. You can do that. You can literally achieve those characteristics. Is it going to be some that you have to work for? Without question. But for us as a brotherhood, and I'm talking as a ummah, African American, Arab, Asian, whatever it may be, because we all of our communities have communal issues and have marital issues going on within themselves. You know, I once got told, "Oh, you think you're the Prophet Muhammad?" What? No, I'm not saying that at all. But Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said that that's the best example for me, and if I'm trying to walk like Him, then what is your, what is the issue? And
That
that's my answer in that scenario. You know, that's for me, that's how I feel is the crux and the root of all of the isms when it comes to, you know, being feminine or do men have feminine traits or energy. And nah, man, that's not feminine energy. That's that man trying to be a healthy man.
And this is something also, man, especially as Muslims, man, we have to stop gravitating towards different ideas and principles, man, that's foreign to our religion. Because there's no way that you can sit back and read in the Quran, where Allah says, this day I have perfected your religion.
And that kills all argument on a whole lot of issues that
Right.
come up behind that. Like
Right.
it was perfect that day. It was perfect. It was perfected that day.
And so how is it that you believe in this ayah, but then you contradict it by adapting some form? And I was explaining this, like me and my wife were just having a conversation the other day. And this goes back to earlier where we talk about just terminologies and stuff like that, right? And when you, like, for example, when a person says, they talk about karma, right? You reap what you sow and all of this stuff, right?
There's an aspect of that in Dean, by the way.
No, it's, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, it's, you still have to understand what it is that you're saying. Because when you talk about karma, right? Karma
Not
has
the
an
commas thing,
origin.
but the,
Yeah, no, what I'm just mentioning karma, right? It has an origin, right? With beliefs that's attached to it, right? So it's just not simply you reap what you sow, right? That's not
Make you
karma
bad,
in
aren't
and
you
of
mad at?
itself,
No, that's
right?
not karma. No, that's just you getting what you deserve.
Right.
Period. Period, point blank.
And so, but people gravitate towards these things, right? Not understanding that there's a backdrop behind that. And so, as a Muslim, you have no need for any other way of thinking or thought or ideas or any of that stuff outside the Quran, outside of Ahadith, right?
Absolutely not.
You have none.
Absolutely. You have a playbook. And you have an unadulterated playbook.
And the crazy part about it, if you follow the playbook, you win the Super Bowl every year.
You getting W after W after W. You're gonna take some L's because we're not perfect, but you're gonna have a whole lot more W's than you're gonna have L's. And those L's are gonna turn into W's. Why? Because you said 100
And then, and if
and
you,
less.
and if you actually think about it, bro, you know it's not even an L.
No, because that's the Qadr of Allah.
Damn, and if it, and if it, something didn't, you didn't achieve at the core of it, man, it wasn't something that was beneficial to your deen, man.
Nah, man. Man. And I'm glad we touched on this subject. I know we over, we running, but you know, I'm glad we touched on this subject because it's something that really, I believe, that really needs to get talked about when it comes to, healthy relationships, right? Like, health, I'm so tired of, for myself first and foremost, but for the rest of the brothers and sisters, I'm so tired.